one in the Iron Mask. Suggested from the thrilling version by Alexandre Dumas and written specially for radio by Eric Scott, a George Edwards production. There is no subject more shrouded in mystery and at the same time more generally discussed in Europe than the strange case of the man in the Iron Mask, who lived and died in the 18th century. Everybody knew he was an exalted person, and in spite of his activities, he was paid all the respect and homage due to one of high rank. Yet nobody knew his name nor saw him, all because of a forbidding steel mask which locked his face from the world. What was the career which this man exchanged for a life of silence and seclusion? Was it the dissolute life of a courtier, the intrigues of a diplomat, the scaffold of a state criminal, or the renown of some warrior? What had he given up? Was it love? Was it glory? Or was it a throne? History tells us he was placed in the dark arches of the prison of Pignerol and its village. The Bastille also hid him, and eventually he was transported to the island Saint-Marguerite, as it was known in those days. A charming island of sandy beaches, wooded groves, marred only by a grim fortress rising high on forbidding brown rocks. Time and death can perhaps erase the pain and suffering which might have been in the life of this mysterious masked man. But time has not effaced the lovely island itself. For now, on a beautiful morning in this present day, we see a small motor yacht idling on sunlit waters off the coast of France, quite near this island. Manila cane chairs littered with gaily colored cushions are to be seen on the aft deck, and there are two red and green sun umbrellas, drinks on a small cane table, and a coil of cigarette smoke rising heavenwards, which betokens the most calm of days. The smoke comes from the cigarette of a good-looking man in his middle 30s. He is in the act of gently waking a pretty girl who sleeps in the long chair beside him.
Louise? Louise, wake up. Look, land's in sight.
Oh, Michael, what a charming-looking island.
There's a nice white beach.
Wonderful, we can swim.
Anyhow, I'll ask Rowan all about it. Are you happy, darling?
Happy? Oh, Michael. When you suggested a honeymoon on your yacht, I never think it would be as wonderful as this. Oh, darling, I'd like this to go on for hundreds of years.
Hundreds of years is a long time. Incidentally, there's something on that island which seems to be very old. It looks like a castle, and if the Oxford thing takes with my imagination. It's built high up.
I can't see.
No, but you see the binoculars.
Oh.
Ah, Captain Bolingbroke. I was going far to have a talk with you. Land's inside.
Yes.
Louise and I thought we might sit. There seems to be a beach.
Michael, that is a castle. I can see the turrets and the walls.
Do you know the island, Captain?
Yes, I do. When I came through here 3 years ago, there was a sort of caretaker then, a man called Nicholas. I don't know what the island's inhabited now. Sure, we can start up the engine and make for the place straight away. Oh, incidentally, and that's where the man in the Iron Mask spent his last day.
The man in the Iron Mask?
Yes, you know about him.
Well, since you've heard the story about the man in the Iron Mask...
Oh, there's not one story. There are 100, Mr. Dent.
100?
Yes.
But who was he? Why did he wear a mask?
Certainly wasn't his own choice. Apparently, this man was forced to wear a mask and was imprisoned on that island for many years. Well, this old fellow Nicholas can tell you more than I can, really. But whoever he was, his name was kept secret and his face hidden from everybody.
Oh, how weird.
He was probably a well-known political prisoner.
Yes, that is a popular theory. But some go even further than that. Some say that he was the son of Anne of Austria.
Anne of Austria?
Oh, Anne of Austria, of course, was the wife of Louis XIII. Oh, anyway, I'll give orders straight away and we'll make a landing.
It'll be most interesting, darling, won't it, destroying the island and the fortress?
Yes, I suppose so, Michael. Except that, well, it's all so weird, isn't it? To think that nearly 300 years ago, a man had his face locked in a mask and his body locked in a fortress. Oh, it makes me a little frightened.
Frightened? But, darling, that was nearly 300 years ago.
Yes, ghosts of the past, I suppose. But still, people may die and be buried, but some say their thoughts still remain alive. Their hate, their love, their torments, and their souls, as it were. Did you know that spiritualists believe that a tormented soul often revisits the scene of its torment?
Up these steps, Monsieur and Madame. As you can see, well worn steps. You wear under care of centuries.
I think the fortress is in remarkably good condition, Monsieur Nicolas.
You are put here on the ice, yes, but down below. The dungeons, you would not believe. Water at the size of young dogs, and ooze and slime where 100 living things crawl. Up these stairs, though, and along this passage, the rooms in which the prisoners were locked are, yes, the fair is good, because here was the best workmanship, the strongest bolts, and the strongest bars. Here is a very special room which I will show you.
It's all very interesting, isn't it, darling? This place is over 300 years old.
Yes, I suppose it is interesting.
What's the matter?
Oh, the place depresses me, Michael. There's something about it.
Will you go this way?
This is the showpiece of the fortress, Marguerite.
Indeed.
You have heard of the man in the iron mask.
We have been talking of nothing else on the yacht.
Well, this is where he lived. These two rooms. High up on the cliff. The barred windows looking down into that foaming cauldron below. Look, Lucy.
But come right in, darling. There's no need to stand back. So this is where he was imprisoned, eh?
Yes, for some years. This was the sitting room and beyond the bedroom. Come say that he was an Englishman.
An Englishman?
There is a report that he was the Duke of Monmouth, the natural son of Charles II.
So the Duke of Monmouth was executed for organizing an armed rebellion.
Ah, monsieur, but the story goes that another man was executed in the place of the Duke of Monmouth. Others say that this man was the son of the Duke of Buckingham.
The Duke of Buckingham? He came to France in 1625. To escort King and Henriette of France, the sister of the French king.
You are a student of history, monsieur.
Although my husband is French, he took all honors at Cambridge.
But these are only the English tales. If I could tell you what I have heard. These walls, if they could only speak. It might interest you to know that everybody who came into this room to talk with the man in the iron mask always remained standing. Always remained bare-headed.
Then he must have been a man of noble birth.
He had the finest linen, the best of books. Food was always served to him upon silver and gold plate. And when he died, everything was burned. All his belongings, his linen, his clothes, mattresses, bed clothing, and even the bedstead and the chair.
Why? Why?
So that none would discover his identity. Even the silver plate was melted down. And these walls here were washed in the fear that he may have written the messages. But even his floor, the stone flagging. Look at it, Monsieur Madame.
So what about you, sir?
Every piece of flagging was taken up for fear that he might have hidden a note underneath or made some mark which might disclose his identity.
You know, Monsieur, the more I hear of this man, the more astounded I am.
The tales I could tell. Once this prisoner threw his shirt through that window down into those foaming waves below. A servant found the shirt 3 days later, washed up on the sandy beach. And it was covered with writing.
Writing, Mr. Mitchell?
Yes, madame. He was brought before the governor and asked if he had read any of the writing. He said he had not, but Mark this well. 3 days later, that servant was found dead in his bed.
Oh! Oh, Michael, it'll be dark soon. You promised to swim. Could we go now?
Even this prison door now. You wonderful workmanship. You unlock with the key. But to lock, you just pull the door shut, and it locks automatically. Even in those days, there were clever craftsmen. Now, stay just for a moment, you see. Now, I will walk in. The candelabra at the stairs has been blown out by the breeze.
Amazing. This door locks automatically. What clever craftsmanship. And you two were so modern.
Aren't you coming, Michael?
Yes, darling, but I just want to see how this works.
Oh, Michael, I'm being a beast. I know I am, and I suppose it's almost terribly interesting, but this whole place depresses me. Even on the yacht, I told you how I felt. The horror of those days, the torment. I've been thinking of that poor tortured man.
But what was it you said? Some people believe that the soul comes back to revisit the scene of its torture.
Michael, you must come. I'm not staying here another moment.
All right.
Michael, you must have got in.
Oh, you did, Audrey. I'm so interested in the door.
Now I'll have to go and get Monsieur Niklaus and his keys to unlock it again. Monsieur Niklaus?
Yes, madame. We can't do that right now. He's a dark
servant, he said. Oh, Monsieur Niklaus, my husband. He was so interested in that contraption, the door that locked automatically, and now he's locked himself in. Will you come back and unlock the door, please? Oh,
but certainly, madame. You are not pleased with the island.
Oh, the island's very pretty, but this place is so gloomy.
And no wonder. The broken hearts that have stopped beating within these walls. The torment, for instance, of the man in the iron mask. It is said that sometimes he walks in these rooms.
Please open the door quickly.
I have not seen him, for I keep well away in my quarters outside the fortress after dark. But there was one woman, my wife's sister. She has heard him wailing, so she says.
Oh, it's all such a lot of nonsense. Please, why are you fumbling with the keys?
Why, madame, these particular keys I have left on the little table inside.
Oh,
how stupid of me. Here I find Monsieur again. He will be able to open the door from the inside.
Michael! The key's on the little table inside. Michael!
Monsieur Bird!
Michael!
Monsieur Bird!
Michael! Michael, can't you hear me? Can't you hear?
But he must hear, madame. Two small rooms, he must have heard.
Michael! Michael, answer me! Michael, what happened? Michael! Michael!
What has happened behind the locked door of this grim old fortress? Louise's fear now becomes a most awful panic as she beats her fists against the great oak door. And panic becomes a frenzy as her repeated cries bring nothing but complete silence from the other side. Make sure you hear the next exciting chapter of The Man in the Iron Mask.
Hope that you've enjoyed this recording, and for more happy listening, please visit otrcat.com.